Hey everybody, this is Jeff Circle from the Dossier and the Writer Stuff podcast with John Stamp. It's just me tonight. I've hijacked the program because I have a special announcement, and it's kind of breaking news. By the time this is released, it will be out. It's not out yet on the dossier.com or the writersdossier.com, but I am here with Duane. Oh, crap. Zrinski.
Zrinski. You got it.
I even asked him at the beginning how this was. I have followed Duane's writing career for a while now, and something special really hit me. So I wanted to talk to him tonight about it really quick in a short version of this podcast. So Duane, thank you for joining us on such short notice. I really appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, Jeff, and thanks for having me back. This is great.
Absolutely. Those of you who might know, I interviewed Duane for the writersdossier.com. There's his classified writing file out on the internet on the webpage right there. But tonight we're celebrating a special occasion. The Dossier has announced its top five books for 2024. And as our crack staff went through the entire list of everything we covered, California Bear is officially the book of the year for the Dossier. So Duane, congratulations.
Thank you so much. That I'm kind of seriously blown away by that. I'm flattered and happy and thrilled, and I won't demand a recount. I'm flipping this book.
Well, we love the political angle. That no recount is necessary.
No
because
recount. I'm happy with how it turned out.
Yes, and I am too. And I didn't know at the beginning of the year how things would go, and I didn't know going into December how things would go, because honestly I didn't even think about it until all of a sudden I looked at the calendar and it's like, oh, I've got to do a year in review, because I've just done so much. I've been going and going. And your book came out, I think it was released, was it January 9th?
January, yeah, early in the year. That's the risk of a book in January. It's like, what, was it out this year? Yeah, that's the risk. Then you forget about it.
Well you know, California Bear is the kind of book you're not going to forget about. And it really moved me. As soon as I finished it, I reached out to you. I had some questions for the Dossier. And tonight I wanted to break the announcement that it's number one, but I also wanted to give you a chance to talk about it. It's been a year, almost a year now. What stands out most in this wonderful year of books to you? On how California Bear was received, how you expected it to be, see how you hoped it, and how it really ended up for you.
Right. No, thank you. That's a great question. I really, and this is typical of me, I have usually set the bar pretty low with expectations, because that just saves your sanity, right? But this one especially, because it felt just so intensely personal. I mean, it was inspired by real life stuff, and I knew I had to write it. That doesn't mean that people have to read it. So that's this disconnect. You know, you have to be okay with wanting to write something, even though you think, who knows if it will connect to anybody. So honestly, this past year has been, it's incredible how much it has connected with people, you know, in a lot of ways. And I'm so grateful for that. And I feel a lot less alone, I guess, in my little weird world, you know, that, okay, I'm not the only one who thinks about these things. And, you know, is looking for this kind of story. So that was really gratifying. It was nice. I'm glad I persisted, because believe me, I spent a lot of time almost giving up on this book. I put it aside a lot. It's been, I started writing it 6 years ago. So it really felt like I could have easily put it down. And I did often. But then for some reason, I just thought, no, you got to finish this. You got to do it. You know, and that's kind of been my recent, you know, I guess, mantra of like, just if you finish these things that you're, you know, I guess, you know, early in my career, before I was published, I would start a lot of books and put them aside. And when I forced myself to finish the first full-length thing, that was a breakthrough for me. And that started my career. I think after, you know, what happened 6 years ago, I kind of had to reset that. And when we went back and like, oh, that's, I had to learn that lesson over again. Like, finish something, you know, finish it. Don't just be okay with starting it. So anyway, so it's been a really wonderful year that way. Yeah. Having connected people.
Well, I want to get into that connection. But before we do, I want to lay down a little bit about this book, because for me, the book has everything that you look for in a mystery, crime, suspense. It wraps it all up, and it's been several months and several books in the past of my short-term memory.
Right.
But as I look back, at California Bear. First of all, like I said, it's got everything. It's got a serial killer. Who doesn't want to jump into that? And
Right.
it's a California serial killer, which for all the great things California has going for it, great weather, food, climate, it's beautiful. It's got a lot of serial killers, you know.
We have the best serial killers out here. We have the ones, grade A, psychopaths. Well, maybe I guess the Northwest has their claim to fame too. But I think
Yeah.
you want a flashy killer, come to us in Southern California.
Oh, California. Absolutely. So you laid that down as a setting and I'll immediately I'm in because I'm bought in. I believe it. And then you did something else, which is one of my favorite things, which I'm doing in my writing. And so I don't want to encourage others to do it because I think it's a really good idea. But this is what writers need to really consider and master the way you did was you have your protagonist and then you have your antagonist. You made your antagonist a sympathetic character like I've never seen.
Wow.
That is such a wonderful thing to do because it puts the reader in the position of all of a sudden now liking someone who did something bad.
I mean, that's an old trick that I try to embrace as often. Like people say, how do you, come up with your villains? Like the best advice I ever heard was make them likable. Like model it after your favorite high school teacher, because that stuff will creep in, even though they're doing the most hideous things to people. It's like, oh, but I still, what a guy, it's that kind of that, I love that messiness of that. That's a great lesson to learn. And even heroes have to make some heroes I really admire. They're jerks, right? They're just like awful, So it's that push and pull of it is it's a neat trick to learn and play with and see how far you can take it.
Absolutely. That's great advice to the writers and the audience who are always looking for good advice. The other thing, having been a cop myself, I looked back and I watched how you developed the law enforcement angle to this and knowing that you don't have a background in law enforcement,
No.
you did a really great job of casting the law enforcement side really well in a way that was realistic and believable for me, so I bought into that.
I'm glad. Good. That's great.
The other thing that I really bought into, which I've always been a, you know, I started, you know, Tom Clancy, that kind of thriller genre, you know, Brad Thor, Vince Flynn, we're gonna nuke this country or we're gonna shoot somebody in the face. I got to California Bear, and all of a sudden you hit me with the emotional candy cane right smack in the face, brother.
Thank you.
And it's to
And
me,
sorry. Oh,
the girl detective was the star.
yeah.
And that was so out of left field because there's you. And for all the things that I'd love to talk to you about and explain to people, you're into comics, you're into going to, you know, really weird places to eat in California. There's a lot about Dwayne that people need to hear about. But the thing that I couldn't get out of my head was the girl detective. And one, I loved how you didn't really name her. You always re often referred to her as the girl detective. And I love that because that defined what she was doing. And as the character, it was so good. But I want you to talk a little bit about maybe how difficult for you writing the girl detective was and maybe why it took 6 years to finish this wonderful book.
Yeah, another great question. It's a hard question. I have been trying to answer that for a while. Girl Detective, she is modeled after my own daughter. We lost her to leukemia 6 years ago, 6 years in October. And I started writing it in her hospital room just as an escape. This kind of fun mystery and see where it went. But losing her, it kind of changed things. And she was a character early on. Like I just thought, 'cause my daughter, she was just the smartest human being I've ever met. I mean, she's in a way, it's like she would have ruled the world, I think. She's just so clever and compassionate. And I wanted to, capture that in the book. So that was on the outset, it was her, she was in there. When we lost her, though, I realized, no, she's the heart of this book. So I really wanted to, honor that. And that became the hard part. Like, how do I don't know, bring her back to life in a weird way. That was my goal. And the hardest test I actually was trying to pass was my wife read the book. Like, that's she knows, knows my, we love and know our daughter and her brother. Same thing. It's like if you can pass their test and they felt like she was honored and kind of came through in that, that was like victory. I didn't even have to go any further than that to be, considered a success. And they thought, wow, that's her. You kind of captured her, which is my goal. So Yeah, I mean, she is really the beating heart of this book. And when people ask me about it, what is it? My pitch doesn't involve her. My quick pitch, you don't want to bore people, right? So I always say, well, it's about, what's it about? It's about an ex-con, sorry, an ex-cop coerces an ex-con into blackmailing an ex-serial killer. And that's like the hooky, like, oh, that sounds like weird. Okay, cool. But I never could figure out in that short pitch how to work on the girl detective because she's her own thing. Like, she's almost like, that's the setup, but she's the Sherlock Holmes of it. You know, she's the Ms. Marple. She's the heart of it. So that's always been, but I think that's to me the secret sauce of it. You know, the idea that, okay, you have a horrible situation, but thank God there are people like the girl detective out there trying to do good. You know, and I love that. Against all odds, that was my favorite kind of stories where, you know, that person trying to save the world, you know, probably has, I don't know, bad finances, a drinking problem, a divorce, whatever. They're a mess. Their lives are messed up, but yet they just pull out that heroism, and I kind of love that in a story. So,
Well,
yeah.
that's what was so cool about the story and how I thought it was so different than a lot of other books in the genre of you've got a story, you got good guy, bad guy, you've got history, you know, something happened, then you've got the hunt, the chase, and how do you fit in the girl detective? And a lot of people use, you know, family as like the secondary storyline to kind of even things out or break things up. But
Yeah.
she was actually part of the investigation from her hospital room. And
Yeah.
no spoiler alerts, obviously, even though it's been out for a year, I don't think it's gotten enough recognition. I don't think enough people have read this. I don't think enough people have bought this. I think this book will touch people in more ways than I saw coming. So tell me a little bit about that connection to the readers that you mentioned. You said a lot of people have responded well to it. What is it that stands out the most? Because it's a great story, but the way
Yeah.
you weaved her in, that was out of left field. I mean, tell me about the connections that you've made.
Yeah, that's a great question. You mentioned the word family, and that also was the other bit of the secret ingredient of it all. Like, to me, this is, of course, it's a murder mystery, kind of a serial killer thriller, but it's also about the origin story of this weird family. You know, it's just like by the end, not to spoil anything, but this group of really different people come together to, like, you know, as a family. And that to me is a beautiful thing. And this is a strangely optimistic book for me. Usually I like to take my characters and put them through the meat grinder. And like, by the end, it's like, oh, they're ready to crawl into a grave. I want to do the opposite here. I kind of felt like, all right, enough death. How about creating something that feels like, okay. I'm a big believer in, you know, or a big fan of found family. You know, you're born into a situation, your family could be great, and you hit the lottery, they could be not so great, you know, as well. That's the human condition, right? So the idea that, you know, people come together and form these units, these family bonds. I know it sounds weird for a hard-boiled, tough guy writer to talk, but that's the truth. I mean, I've, you know, many mystery writers I've met, the one common thing is almost all of them have this big bleeding heart. They really do. That's why we write about it, because these things bother us. You know, murder bothers us. Desperate circumstances, they're fun to write about, and it's a way of, you know, it's a way of dealing with those horrible things. But ultimately, I think we're caring people and optimists about, I hope, about the human condition. So yeah, that I think I'm hearing about, you know, how they were surprised by how this group of people, very different kind of people, you know, there's the girl detective, her dad's an ex-con. His partner in crime is this really, you know, troubled ex-cop. He's not a good guy. I
Yeah, he
mean,
is.
he's kind of a good
Yeah, he
con
is.
artist. I mean, and he has his moments, and I do love him for his own. I mean, and his wife is long suffering. Like, and also usually the cop's wife is a side character. I wanted to give that character, you know, time in the sun. Like, and the truth is, most people I meet, the partners are the wives are the real clever ones, not the guy. It's almost like two dipshits trying to solve a crime. No, it's the daughter and the wife who are usually sidelined in these stories. They're the real heroes.
Dude, that is so true in real life.
Yeah, so true. I'm not just saying that for brownie points. You know, I'm just saying it's the truth. You know, guys are can be idiots. So, yeah.
dude, tell me a little. So people need to get the book, but I also have the audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
And I gotta tell you, it was narrated by a couple different people.
Yeah.
And the girl detective's voice came through so incredibly well. I mean, there were times where I was driving where I would get choked up.
Really?
Yeah, because it was the girl detective talking,
Yeah.
and I had a hard time peeling back the real life story of you and what you went through personally with writing this book and your daughter, and knowing that you're writing your daughter. That was really tough. And so it was like I was hearing her voice.
Yeah, and the narrator, Jesse Valinsky, she just was beautiful and amazing. And this is probably embarrassing to admit, but I was curious about how it made you tear up. Look, I wrote this thing and I was listening to the audiobook. I got seriously emotional. I think it was the distance. It was like when it's on a page, looking at it, I can almost control how I process it. Hearing it wash over you, it was like, oh God, I was literally in my car. I had to pull over in Pasadena and just like weep for a minute because I was like, oh my God, this is, oh, that's what I did. I mean, it's funny. It's beyond me. It's more like that's her. And it's again, the narrator is the audiobook, Jesse Valinsky and James Urbaniak. They're brilliant. I mean, I love the two-hander idea. You know, the idea that they're very different, sets of voices, and they did such a wonderful job that I couldn't be more thrilled with how that turned out.
I wanted to point that out. I've been covering some audiobook narrators, and
Yeah.
Jessie, oh, she, I gotta contact her if she can put me in touch, because it was
Oh
fantastic.
yeah, she's great. Yeah, she's award-winning. I mean, she really is one of the most, really gifted vocal performers I've ever met. So I was really blessed and lucky to have, those talents on this
Oh
project.
man, I gotta tell you, I know it's a passion project. It came out as even better than most do. It was a killer book all on its own, and then you layer on that.
No, thank
I
you.
like I said, I could
Thank
go
you.
on and on. But before we end, again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for putting your heart out there
Yeah.
and being the Dossier's Book of the Year. Real quick, what are you working on now?
Funny you ask, because I wanted to talk about this anyway. Because I think this novel kind of gave me almost permission, like, oh, you can be a little more raw and emotional and open, vulnerable, I guess is the word. So I'm working on now something I'm calling my pulp nonfiction gangster memoir. Now I know that sounds like a lot, but it's basically it's me investigating the rise and fall of a South Philly gangster who killed a relative of mine 100 years ago. Now I know about this story for a while. After we lost Evie, however, I really was like just flailing. I just need to grab onto something else for my brain to like, because that's what we do. We seek out
Definitely.
stories to comfort us. So I flew back to Philadelphia and I walked around the crime scenes and started working on this book, which I'm writing it in real time on Substack, my newsletter. If you go to gleefulmayhem.com, the news it's the newsletter. I'm doing weekly chapters of like the structure is me walking around South Philly processing grief. This is all fresh, like 6 weeks after losing, my child. And I'm, but I guess it took me 6 years to be open enough to feel like, okay, I can tell this story without feeling like I'm being, I don't know, weird, too much, as the kids say, but I think, but aside from the grief stuff, the memoir stuff, it's still a kind of cracking great gangster story I'm dying to tell. Because it really is. This guy, I mean, if he didn't kill a relative, I love him because he's colorful, he's funny, like he had this really crazy career that no one's written about. I'm stunned. In 1920s and 30s Philly, this guy was like, I would cast Joe Pesci as this guy because he's so colorful, so funny. Twisted, and he was almost killed a bunch of times, and he's killed people, but that to me is like that in a lot of ways saved me. I think writers need a story to tell. If you don't have that, what do you have? I didn't know. I was flailing, and I was really just out. I'll be honest, I was insane. I think for a good year. I'm sure that happened. I was not myself, and I was just trying to put myself back together again. And this book was that, helped me do that. So.
And it comes through, and it's worth every word on every page. So,
No, thank you.
first of all, Gleeful Mayhem is a wonderful site, and it's a wonderful title. It's a great name for a blog, a website, everything that you're doing. So people need to go to Gleeful Mayhem.
Yeah.
I just love that. And start following the Substack as these get released. And
Yeah.
secondly, there was a the last thing I wanted to cover. Yes, the book. You ran into some weird situations in Philly, didn't you? Like, hey, dude, you shouldn't be here, or what are you doing here? Wasn't there something like that that came up?
Well, that happens often in my life. I'm trying to narrow it down. That's what I think, which what in Philly? The truth is, I was born and raised in Philly. I'm a lifelong Philly. I lived there more than any other place in my life, and I still feel like an outsider. Philly's a weird place to be from because there's a it's a little bit profound here. There's a shit test they put you through. Like, I'm not a football fan or an Eagles fan, so already I'm alien. I'm like, who the hell are you, man? Where'd you come from? I'm just that's not me. So I was weird. I love my hometown intensely, but I also feel like I'm not quite fully part of it. So it's me trying to figure out the mystery of my own life and how I fit into this stuff. And ancestors, why Philadelphia of all places? I came from Poland. They landed here. Why just stay? What was here that anyway? So that kind of stuff fascinates me. And I lost track of your question. I apologize. I was like, as far as
No, it's like I thought I remember asking you
anecdotes.
before or hearing a story about you were doing some research and you were at a place. I don't know if it was a restaurant or in an alley or you're doing something and it turns out that wasn't the kind of place you should have been at. It was a little
That sounds
unsafe,
right.
but yeah, some of that research is really deep that you were doing.
It's funny though. I will say that it's nice. When I was an actual reporter for magazines, newspapers, and when you're a journalist, people treat you arm's length. It's like, what? What are you asking? They clam up. As a fiction writer, if I say, hey, I'm a novelist doing some research, they'll tell you anything. It's great. I mean, they'll tell you if who they killed and where the bodies are buried. It's like, this is amazing. So I think the comfort of fiction, people think, okay, to me, it's all the same impulse storytelling. It's the same kind of like you're trying to reveal something about human beings. But if they're not worried about being quoted or looking bad, people are more free. They'll tell you so much stuff, and that's wonderful.
Hey, if you ever need to get into a tight space, just put on a reflective vest and a hard hat. You can
That's
go
true.
anywhere.
And a
You get a
clipboard, right?
clipboard. I've done that. I've done that on
Oh
red team
wow, you've
exercise.
actually
It's
done
been
it. Yeah, I've want to do that, or either like a suit and a clipboard or whatever. But oh yeah, like the vest, the hard hat. Yeah, I mean people just
No one
don't
will
know.
blink
People don't.
twice.
Yeah, that's so true.
Well, brother, thank you again so much for joining us. Thank you for writing the book and congratulations on being the Dossier's Book of the Year for 2024. We're looking forward to this next project that you've got going. We're going to continue to follow your career. We're going to promote the hell out of everything you do. And
Thank
we're
you so
really, really
much.
happy for you. So,
Wow.
Dwayne, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate
All
it.
right. Well, thanks for joining us.